Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for yet another Monday Trip Report. Jack is standing by. We're going to have a great conversation. He went down for Star Wars race weekend last year. I know a lot of us missed out on that this year, so you get to hear the highlights of last year's trip. We talk about him running the half marathon. We also talk about his stay at Old Key West Resort in a two-bedroom villa with some extended family. Awesome stay there. They also split it with a stay at the Polynesian. And we talk about great moments in the parks and some awesome meals at California Grill and Artist Point. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. When it comes time for your next Disney adventure, an adventure is out there. Work with the great folks over at the Magic for Less. They're professional, passionate travel agents. They're going to get you the best deal possible on every trip and make it the most magical experience ever. Honestly, check them out today. Just drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the great trip planning tools, great photos, guides to the dining plans, everything you need to get started on that next Disney vacation. And while you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote form, and an agent will get back to you right away. So check them out today. Support the folks who support us. They're over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and every purchase helps everything we do here on the show. So please bookmark it and use it often. Thank you so much. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1659 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. And of course, May the 4th be with you. And we have a trip report today because it is a Monday and it is actually Star Wars race weekend last year. Actually, it's the current Star Wars race weekend. Because as we know, it was sadly missed this just a few weeks back. But the Lizards got together. We had a fun virtual weekend running wherever we were around the world. And a huge shout out again to Dennis Keithley for organizing that. And shout out to all the Lizards who made that happen and had some fun. So let's get to the trip report. We're talking about a lot of my favorite things today. Joining us from New Jersey, we have Jack. Jack, how's it going?
It's going well, Mike. Thank you.
Glad How to have you doing? Better than I should be. You know, it's like, do we have cabin? Is it even cabin fever at this point? I mean, I don't know how you're doing. Everybody knows how I'm doing because I get on the air every single night now. But how are things going for you in quarantine days?
Well, things are going okay. You know, it was a little bit of an adjustment at first. I have a job that I'm fortunate enough to be able to work from home, to work remotely. So it was, you know, a bit of an adjustment, but we worked into it at least. I can't speak for my wife, can't speak for the dog, but I've been doing okay.
They're your coworkers, you know. Like, if the dog hassles you, you got to go to HR. You know, it's something crazy. Go. That's right. Yeah, the dog keeps me company. When Paige leaves to go back to Mizzou, I told her, it's, you know, it will happen. Someday they'll open. She works for Mizzou Athletics, so she'll head back, but the dog cannot leave anymore. The dog must stay. I love the dog. Mm. So it's going to be a sad, sad day in St. Peter's, Missouri when that happens. But anyway, let's talk a little trip report here because I'm telling you, we got some good stuff to talk about. But before we do that, give us your background. Like, you know, why are you listening to Disney podcasts? What makes you such a Disney fan? What's your backstory?
Well, I mean, I'm listening to Disney podcasts because I'm a huge Disney fan, Disney Parks fan, from when I was a little kid. I'm one of those people that I don't really watch very many Disney movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, the list of movies that I haven't seen is way longer than the list of movies that I have.
Yes.
But ever since I was a little kid, I mean, I think I was two the first time that we went to the world. We stayed at the Contemporary. I think I've been there about 13, 14 times since then. So it was just an integral part of my childhood. And there was a little break between my senior trip in high school because everybody in Jersey goes to Disney World.
That's right. You guys have a week. I mean, we don't have a Missouri week. You guys got Jersey week.
We've got our own. Well, yeah, we're selfish in the Garden State. What can I say? But then it was a little break between then and the time that I went 8 years later. So that was 2002. I was married by that point. My wife had never been to Disney World. So I rediscovered my love for the parks, and she discovered it for the first time. So, and ever since then, we've gone, you know, maybe on average once every couple of years, but it's been, we've gone several times in the past few years, as we've been able to afford to go on our own. We're also DVC members, mostly through my mom's points, and I have a few of my own at this point, so we have the impetus to keep going down there, and we certainly love it.
So now, how was that? Because, excuse me, you had the background in going down, but then when you took your wife as a first-timer in the early 2000s, you kind of knew what to expect, but you had that gap. I mean, I would imagine that was really exciting because you had that little pause there in your trips, and it was kind of probably like seeing, because there was a lot of new stuff, but it was probably kind of like a first time for both of you in a way.
Sure, it really was. I mean, the last time we'd been down there before, and I'd been there in 94, so, but we only visited the Magic Kingdom in Epcot with my classmates. So the last time I had been to the studios was 1989, and that was before Star Tours actually even opened. So a lot had changed since then. They opened a whole new park, which is absolutely our favorite park. I mean, obviously, I don't need to tell any listeners to your podcast that they opened Animal Kingdom in the 90s. So it was an entirely new experience for me going as an adult and going with her for the first time. So it was great. It was like being a kid again.
I love hearing the backstories because you are a lot like me. I'm not, you know, I don't have a huge background knowledge in the movies. You know, I'll catch one. I saw Moana, and every time I watch them, I like them. But it's just, I'm a sports guy, and I just tend to watch news and listen. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I mean, I'm more of an auditory guy. So, but I appreciate the parks. I appreciate the architecture. I appreciate the experiences, the environments, the immersiveness of them. And it sounds like you're very much the same. You like to be kind of in the physical world rather than like watching stuff happening on a screen.
100%. I mean, as far as Disney goes anyway, I mean, I'm a big movie fan. We do a lot of Netflix, a lot of TV, you know, when we have the time, when I'm not at work or running, which is seems like the only two things that I do nowadays. But yeah, the attention to detail, the immersive atmosphere, I mean, everything that goes into the Disney parks, which is actually why Animal Kingdom is my favorite, because I think that they do it the best there, not to besmirch the other three parks in Florida. But yeah, that's why I love the park so much. Absolutely.
So let me ask you, you mentioned Animal Kingdom, and we've got an animal chiming in, which is totally fine. Don't stress out because we're in those quarantine days. It does not bother me one bit. So don't worry, because my dog could come. It's not even my dog. It's Paige's dog. Could come rolling in anytime. Let me ask you this, though. We had this question because you're an Animal Kingdom fan. You're a big Animal Kingdom fan. So I got to ask you this. Then we're getting into the trip report, I promise you. But we had Justin call this in last week during one of our community check-ins and had a really interesting idea that he proposed for Animal Kingdom Park. And it was to, in these days where we're coming out of quarantine, the parks are looking for new and exciting ways to kind of spread out the crowds and to bring in new experiences. What if Animal Kingdom brought in some kind of a festival akin to like a Food and Wine or a Flower and Garden? But it's, you know, it's got the little kiosks around the park, but it's something where, you know, like in Africa, you could have vendors of, you know, true African wares or some, you know, some kind of African cuisine. Same for Asia. I never thought about that, but I think it's genius because that park is large and it has wide walkways. And I think that'd get me excited to go over there even more than normal.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's a lot of opportunity for people that maybe have never had the experience of going over to any of the countries that those two park or that those two lands are based on. Which I had the opportunity to go to India with work a couple of times about 10 years ago. So I appreciate that land all the more. And the idea, and I haven't heard this either, but it is a fantastic idea. The idea that they could. That Disney could pull in vendors from the countries that the parks are or that the lands are based on. That the food, kind of like Harambe Nights from a few years ago, yes. Which is something I really wish I had been able to take part in. I mean, if I needed an excuse to make an extra trip down there, hey, that would be it.
That's what I was thinking too, and I've never thought of that. Like Justin came up with that, and I'm like, God, that's a great idea. Like, I mean, yeah. And how could Disney not like it? It would draw more attendance, I would think, and you know, a new experience that's not real difficult to pull off at this point, I wouldn't think. But anyway, I just want to ask you because you're a huge Animal Kingdom fan. But let's talk the trip report here. You were down Star Wars weekend last year for the races. You ran the half. Before we jump into the hotel and all that, let's talk about the race experience. You ran the half. You're a big time runner. What was the experience like? Because I did not run that one last year. I ran Princess last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, as far as the events go, the I was working from home, or from capital H home, for the first 2 days that we were there, Thursday and Friday. So I didn't get much of an expo experience, unfortunately, because I was on the clock. I was using my I was going to work an extra long day and using my lunchtime to speed out to the expo. I think I took a lift out there, grabbed my stuff. I don't even remember it. I got the bib, didn't do any shopping, and I was gone. But I did know that I was in for an experience, given that it's so specifically themed and it's Star Wars themed. Mm-hmm. And so Sunday morning when I got to the corrals, there were long lines already for all of the photo ops. And I tend to get there early just so I know that I'm there. I get up at 2:15, which is maybe earlier than you have to. Mm-hmm. And actually, it was you were someone that I have to thank for that. The advice: get up, get the bus. Yep. Get over there.
It's better. It's always better to be an hour early than 5 minutes late. That's how I live my life.
So the only photo op that I actually did was with Jabba the Hutt stationary, but there were only two people in front of me in line. So I got up there, got to point at the disgusting drool coming out of his mouth, and got a funny photo. We're good. Took a few pictures of the starting line and just kind of sat and waited for time to pass and looked at all of the wonderful costumes. I tend to take Disney races a little bit too seriously. I know you're not supposed to, but I had worked really hard. Not that everybody doesn't work really hard just to run a half marathon. Yep. But I was shooting for PR, a personal record. And I didn't want anything. Wanted to dress up like Luke. Wasn't going to let it get in the way of my performance.
Yeah, I've only worn a costume a couple times for the shorter races, like a 10 or a 5. Never gone 13 miles in anything. Because I ran one time with Tinkerbell Wings, and they about beat me up in 10K. So I'm with you. I'm there to run. You know, I'm not there to try to break it. I'm not going to, you know, beat Meb if he's in the race or anything. But, you know, I'm there to push myself if I can, which I've really been enjoying the last few years. So now, was this your first Run Disney event, or for Star Wars, or what's your background with Run Disney?
Oh, this is my second Run Disney event, first Star Wars. I actually ran the Dopey at the beginning of 2018. Nice. My first Dopey, my first marathon. So I'm one of those people.
Dude, you're crazy.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
It was maybe a little ill-considered, but it all worked out. I did the training plan. I didn't do the Disney approved training plan. Did a different one, but I'm sure that one's great too. Just, you know, trust the plan, and everything worked out. Marathon weekend was an experience for sure.
I love Marathon weekend. And of course, Marathon weekend 2021 registration is, within a week now. We're AP holders and, regular registration on the 12th. So, exciting times. I'm sure a lot of people are going to be going for that, man. People that would never run a marathon are like, if I can just get out of the house and get out of my state, I'll run 26 miles. I don't care. Whatever. Don't matter. All right. So let's talk more about the stay. So you stayed at one of my favorite places, and you mentioned DVC earlier, Old Key West. So give us your take, your thoughts, because it's a different type stay. It's not a Pop Century stay. It's not a Riverside type environment. It's got its own vibe. So what did you think?
Well, I was impressed. I mean, I knew it from reputation. I knew that it had been the first DVC property, if I'm not mistaken. I knew that the rooms were big, which is something that we were looking for, because I was going with a number of members of my family, my extended family. And it's definitely a low key sort of vibe, but that's not to say that it doesn't have, I sound like I'm trying to sell it here, which I guess I am, but it's not to say it doesn't have the amenities that people might be looking for. It's got the great pool right there. It's got restaurants, which the place we shall not name because we don't want too many people to go there.
Yeah. We're talking about, you guys all know it's Olivia's.
Yes.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, but and it's it has a great low-key atmosphere, which was perfect. We've stayed at other places, stayed at the Polynesian later on in this trip. I've stayed at the Contemporary before, Animal Kingdom Lodge, Kidani and Jumbo, which are actually my favorite. Also low-key in a different way, but Old Key West was very relaxed while still being relatively close to everything that we're looking for down there. Yeah. And definitely close to Disney Springs.
Totally. Yeah, because you can take the boat. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think the thing that really sells the relaxation at Old Key West is as you get off the buses at the main stop. I can't remember the name, but you walk through that breezeway past Olivia's and the check-in area. You know, it's an open-air breezeway, which kind of just tells you that you're in Florida, you know, summer breezes, because we always go usually during the warmer times for vacation, not a race weekend. And mm-hmm. It's just awesome. And then you got the lighthouse and everything else. So sounds like the accommodations worked out well. Now, you had a bigger group because you had some family join you. Did you guys have a two-bedroom, one-bedroom? What'd you guys have?
Yeah, we had a two-bedroom. We were there for a few hours because we flew down. In order for me to work from home, I had to take a red-eye in order to get there in the morning, and I hit the ground running as soon as we got on the Magical Express. And then my sister, her husband, and their three kids joined us a little bit later that day. The two-bedroom worked out really well. We had one of the newly refurbished at that point rooms. Very, very nice.
Yeah, we stayed in that with my buddy Scott. If you're not DVC, the best thing in the world is to know somebody that is. Like you said, with your mother, you know, if you can't be DVC, know people who are. And we, you know, like we just we worked out a way to kind of share the costs, and it was really neat because the two bedroom was just huge. It worked out great for two families. We all had plenty of space, but we also it was more of a relaxed vacation than I had ever had and have had since at Walt Disney World. Because I've said this before, like we bake cookies, we got groceries, we sat on the balcony overlooking the golf course and watched people putt out and, you know, mm-hmm. had living room time and sat around the island in the kitchen. It was just, you know, it was almost like we're hanging out at each other's house. And I know that's kind of the focus of DVC. It's home away from home. But, you know, I wasn't intentionally going in doing that, but it's just, you just kind of fall into that immediately with that kind of a unit. I loved it.
Yeah, absolutely. We were right by the golf course. Also, we had very similar experience.
Cool. All right. So let's hop into some of the exciting times in the theme parks. Now, we don't have to go like sequentially, but this has been a year now. So what sticks out? Like what memories did you make with your family and, you know, just things that stick out a year later?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, fortunately, I have to thank you for this. I mean, at that point, I had already contacted you about possibly doing this. So it gave me the impetus to do something that I always tell myself I'm going to do and never actually do, which is take notes while we're on the trip.
That's right.
Yeah. So apart from work, I mean, the highlights, I mean, there was some great things that some great experiences that I had both with just with my wife and then also with our larger family down there. And even with my brother-in-law's sister and her boyfriend at the beginning of the trip, fiance at the end of it.
Oh, bingo. Nice.
Yeah. So that was fantastic, the way these things worked out. Working from Kidani Village. With my feet up, don't tell Disney that. Looking out at the animals from the veranda, that was fantastic. We were actually down there because my sister and her husband had a wedding to go to on that first Saturday that we were there, the only Saturday we were there. So we got to take care of their kids, take them to the Magic Kingdom, give them dinner at Olivia's, and it was right around the time of her twins' birthday. So the people at Olivia's were wonderful. I mean, the food there is maybe a little bit more adult, I think, the kids, but they were able to find something for sure. But the people who were working there, the staff, just they brought out cupcakes for them. They treated them like royalty, certainly like family. So that was wonderful. From there on, it was just spending time in the different parks with the family, a little bit on our own with my wife and I. We ate at on Sunday we had the race was Sunday morning, so I got up, got out, and got back on the faster side, so I was able to finish things in time for a relatively early character breakfast at Hollywood and Vine. So that's the Disney Junior breakfast, yes. As I'm sure I'm telling people who know this. Not having any kids myself, I have no idea who these characters were at this breakfast.
I don't even know who's there right now because, again, I'm in that same boat even with kids. Mallory's now 12. So I, you know, like I used to be Handy Manny when we went last time and like Little Einsteins, I think, is who they were. I don't even know.
It's all Greek to me. I have no idea what you're talking about. Know. But the kids loved it. Somebody was, it looked like Dracula.
Oh, no, it's Vampirina is who that is because my little nephew watches that. Yes, Vampirina. Yeah, okay, she's purple. Yeah, yeah.
Forgive me. Vampirina.
There you go. See, I got to keep my cred here. I'm a podcaster. No, just kidding.
There you go. But I knew that we were going to, my wife and I were going to California Grill that night, that we weren't necessarily going to have time to make things, to do everything that we wanted to do that day and make it to California Grill. And I'm sure you don't remember this, but I actually asked the, your advice for, where would be the best place to store a suit if you're going into the parks? I mean, it's one of 5,000 questions that you've gotten over the course of the last year. So I ran the race, got back to the room, took a shower, and I grabbed my suit and sped out of there. So I'm walking up Hollywood Boulevard as people are running in the opposite direction. And it was actually one of the best experiences I've ever had at Disney and one of the best running related experiences I've ever had, which is just, I had my medal at that point and I was just cheering everybody on and they were cheering me on. And I got to say, "You're almost there," which is something that everybody says to every runner.
They say it at mile one. Yeah, they lie.
I kind of meant it, though. At Hollywood Studios, you're close to Epcot. You're really almost there.
You're telling the truth.
Yeah. Close enough to it that I felt okay. So made it not with much time to spare. Spent a fantastic day between Hollywood Studios and Epcot. And got to ride Slinky Dog for the first time, which I cannot wait to get back there. I mean, what a ride. Mm-hmm. Again, the attention to detail, the way that they made it like a children's toy, but still made it exciting but accessible for kids. It's fantastic.
But I'm cracking up here because I love the yin and the yang. If you started the day at Hollywood and Vine with the characters that you don't know who they are, which I wouldn't know who they are either, and then you end the night at California Grill. I mean, that's the full spectrum of Disney dining right there.
Absolutely. It was something. I don't remember what, and I think it was food and wine during the middle of the day. So we hit all different things, Flower and Garden. So then California Grill was something we had never done before. I mean, we don't really buy things down at the parks, but we do splurge on the food. And we had never done California Grill before. It was very nice. I mean, the service was good. The food was out of this world. A little noisy, maybe not as intimate as what we were looking for, but it was definitely an experience that was great to have, and something that we're glad we did. And from then on, just glancing at my notes, you know, we after spending that day with the family and then with ourselves, unfortunately, the next day, something that happens sometimes on Disney trips, we had plans that went a little bit awry. My wife did come down with a cold. So she spent the next few days really just being an amazing trooper, informing everybody that we came close to, you know, that we were having meals with or whatever, you know, hey, I'm trying to stay away from things. You know, I'd go up to the buffet instead of her.
A year later, the whole world is adapting to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so crazy a year later. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit more serious now, you know. Yeah, we certainly wouldn't take those same steps.
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, like, I didn't think about those things as seriously 2 months ago. You know, like, you just, everybody, you know, you saw people down at Walt Disney World with colds, you know, and just, especially over a race weekend, because I think a lot of people overextend themselves and, you know, you kind of get the runny nose and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, we really kept going and you know, what else did we do? I mean, lots of time in Animal Kingdom, lots of time with family. We went to Artist Point, the character dinner there, which was really, really cool. It was like a hybrid between, a character dinner and Love Seeing the Evil Queen. That was a fantastic experience. A hybrid between a character breakfast, but in sort of an adult environment. You know, the dark woods, the lighting, it was really, really neat. So that was definitely a highlight also. Then the next day was, I'm not going to go sequentially here, but the big one was something that I alluded to earlier. which was we knew, everybody on the trip knew, except for the person in question, that my brother-in-law's sister was going to be proposed to on that next day, on the Tuesday, in Epcot, and in front of Spaceship Earth, I think. God, I hope they don't. No, it's not Spaceship Earth. Oh, Jackie, I'm sorry. I can't remember where it was. Oh, well.
Well, just but leave it in Epcot. Epcot. That's good enough.
Yeah,
right?
We'll say that. Oh, Italy? Maybe it was Italy. Oh, I know it was her late mother had a place that was very close to her heart, and that's where the proposal took place, appropriately enough. But I had already had a river Illuminations cruise planned for everybody that day, because we knew it was the last time we were really going to be able to take the time to see Illuminations. It had always been my favorite and my wife's favorite nighttime show. So this was a surprise for everybody until that day when I had to tell them, you have to be at this certain place at this certain time. They kind of figured it out.
Yeah. Got to hit the marina. Well, I wonder what we're doing at the marina. Are we going fishing?
Yeah, which would have been good too, believe me, exactly. Especially with my brother-in-law. That would have been fine. And as it turns out, in a little bit of Disney magic, the rains, which had been threatening all that day, came down and then lifted right around the time we were going to go out. And our captain, our skipper, was from not only from the Philly area, but he was from the neighborhood that my sister and brother-in-law had stayed in right when they first got married. That's so awesome. It was fantastic. A lot of conversations, which I was, you know, I'm Jersey born and bred. I know we're just across the river, but you know, city and not city.
Yeah.
So a lot, just a fantastic time. It was a different way to view the fireworks, and something that you know, we will never have a chance to do again. So it was wonderful to be able to do that.
Oh, I miss Illuminations, and I miss those cruises, because we did those a few times and they were amazing. Now let me ask you, so you said that she didn't know. Do you think she truly didn't know? Because I mean, you were there when the moment happened. I mean, was she 100% surprised? Because my wife, I think she kind of knew. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Like, what was the vibe like at the moment? And were there guests that got around and noticed, or how'd that go? Because I've walked upon, especially during Run Disney events, you'll see that happen at the castle. Like, almost every longer race that you're a part of. Like, somebody's down on one knee. Like, okay, do they have a cramp or are they getting engaged? I can't, you know, which one, because they're crying either way. How'd it go for that moment?
Well, actually, we weren't there for that moment.
Oh, you weren't? Okay. They did it on their own.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
No, her father was there, and the photographer. So that's the photo pass photographer. She certainly looked surprised, and she swore up and down, and still does, that it was a complete surprise. As far as the timing, she knew it was coming. They had been together for a while at that point, but then they got to have that time sort of by themselves, and then got to go out on the cruise with the family, and they were still pretty much in their own heads.
I can't imagine how exciting that would be, and especially that you had that planned already. Like, that's the perfect you know, it's like you have this life-changing moment, and then you get to celebrate, because those Illuminations cruises, any specialty fireworks cruise or any event like that, it makes you feel like a VIP. I mean, that's what it is, a VIP experience. That's perfect to cap off that night. You know, they're going to remember that forever.
I hope so. Yeah, we didn't want to step on their experience, but we were glad that they went along with us afterwards, so that I mean, certainly were invited, so that they could share that with the rest of us. It was great. Hope they feel the same way.
Love that. Now, you also mentioned before we started recording that you guys spent the last night at the Polynesian. So you kind of split it where you had this, real deluxe experience on the back end. So how was that?
Well, it was one of those cases where things didn't quite go according to plan. I mentioned that my wife came down with that cold, and it was in full force by the time that we had a Tiffin's dinner, where we were or she was freaking out everybody who was around her. we did leave early out of respect for our fellow diners, because it just had gotten bad by that point. And we basically went to the Poly, and Disney had transferred our luggage, as they do, and that was a seamless experience. We went there, basically collapsed for a couple of hours, but we still did have the chance to go out onto the beach, watch the Magic Kingdom fireworks. Even as, like I said, she was just an absolute, she was just wonderful pushing through all of this, not trying to tire herself out anymore, but to just kind of preserve that Disney experience. And then after the fireworks, we went back into the room, fell asleep, woke up the next day, and had and flew from Orlando to Philadelphia through Atlanta and Chicago. So
I've never taken a flight that wasn't nonstop, just because, you know, I used to have this insane fear of flying. Now I like flying, but I figure in St. Louis, really, we only have nonstops because we only have Southwest from my airport to Orlando. Now you can take some ones where they stop in Atlanta and some other places, Nashville, I think, but you know, why take your chances? You know, that's the way I look at it. I like flying, you know, one takeoff, one landing, good enough. I don't know.
Oh, that's from, a lot of from your lips to God's ears. Yeah, that is the way. That is the way that we are doing it. We have two trips planned to the world right now. Who knows if they're going to happen? I think you may be familiar with one of them.
Yep.
So, and we're nonstop Southwest flights down and back.
So let's talk about that. Let's kind of move to the future. You know, right now as we're recording, obviously recording this at the end of April 2020, if you're listening to this 5 years down the line and you're like, what are they talking about? Quarantine, all this. You'll remember if you were part of it, you know, and everybody is, unless you're some like, you know, 6-year-old or something. But, you know, what are you looking as far as comfort level and as far as expectations, maybe moving forward for the rest of 2020, what would you like to see if Disney asked you some advice on moving forward this year?
Well, as far as what's going on with the coronavirus?
Yeah, COVID-19, yeah. I mean, what would make you comfortable to travel? Like what are a few ideas you would have to make a successful vacation, but also to accommodate the situation we're in right now?
Sure. I mean, some of the things that I've been thinking about with this, and I've been not keeping close attention what they're what's going on in Florida, but obviously I'm paying some attention to it, given that we do have a trip planned or two trips planned. You know, some of the things that we've just kind of taken for granted as the Disney experience, security experience since 2001 or so, they might have to change, you know, because things have changed now. The same person searching hundreds or thousands of bags, mm-hmm. the fingerprint scanners, things like that. I don't know if I have ideas, certainly not my area of expertise, but I'm definitely interested to see where Disney's going to go with these sort of things, where the expectation is that the same people do the same things in order to keep the visitor experience efficient, and to keep us safe and secure within the parks as much as possible. So I'm definitely interested to see where they're going to be going with that. If it's going to be more cleaning, if it's going to be a change in procedures, I'm sure that they have been planning for this probably since before even most of us went into a shelter in place sort of environment.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that, you know, as this started going down in China, I mean, obviously they're an international, they have obviously theme parks internationally now. So this was something that affected them in Asia. And then, mm-hmm. you know, the dominoes just fell to where it's made it all the way around the world. But I'm with you. You know, I don't really know. You know, I always say there's smarter people than me making these decisions. That's why they get paid the big bucks. But, you know, I'm also somebody who's invested. You know, I love the theme park experience and I love the memories I get to make there with my family. And I want that to continue. But you're right. I think it's one of those things where the more you think about it, and as a theme park fan, I mean, I think that's kind of what we do. We kind of armchair, you know, not Imagineer, but kind of, you know, diagnose all these, you know, logistical situations that come up at the theme parks. But it's one of those things where they are seriously going to have to reevaluate almost every single process that a guest goes through over the course of a trip. Like you said, just walking through the gate, security, touching your finger at the touch points. I mean, those are two major things you're going to have to basically reimagine from the ground up before you're ever in a theme park. You got visiting restaurants outside of theme parks. You know, say you mentioned you're at Old Key West. You just happen to stroll down to Olivia's. I mean, are they going to check your temperature as you enter that building or just to go to the shop to get, you know, some ice cream or what have you? I mean, just it's one of those things where, you know, I never wanted this to happen. But logistically, the nerd in me, you know, and I say that affectionately because, you know, I like to see how they're going to solve these problems one at a time to make it safer for the guests, but also you can't make it so cumbersome that it makes your vacation not a pleasant experience. You know what I'm saying? It's a hard line to walk, and I think you're kind of in that same mindset where it's going to be interesting to see how they toe that line.
Sure. I mean, I had heard, and I'm not sure if this is something that came from Disney or whether it was just a rumor about a staged opening, maybe opening the parks first to Florida residents and then moving it out from there. And that seems like a great way to test some of the new procedures. Test it, you know, like a test environment for a programmer. You kind of do it on a few people, and then you start widening it and see if it makes sense, and then make changes along the way. And I think that's what they're going to do. I think it makes sense.
So programmers use they call it a sandbox, right, where you keep the program isolated from everything else. And I mean, can we do that maybe with Disney Springs for a couple weeks and see what happens there? And
there,
you know, move on to something a little bigger. And you know, I don't know. But again, you know, I'm a fan, but I'm also a logistics geek. You know, I like to see how things, I just like to see, you know, when I was a teacher, I love creative problem solving. You know, like, this is a huge real world problem, and they're going to have to come up with solutions that are absolutely and 100% creative, because they have to balance we don't want to make it, you know, like walking, going to the DMV to get into a theme park. That isn't going to work. That's not Disney. You mean you're standing there at the train station getting so excited, but you know, it's not going to be a wonderfully pleasant experience, I doubt, entering the Magic Kingdom, but I think they got to make it. There's going to be some level where it has to be tolerable, you know, and then you move on. So we'll see. I love talking this stuff. So Jack, thanks so much for kicking off the week with us. I sure appreciate it. And let's cross our fingers. You head down here later this year.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure. And yes, certainly hope. And thank you for everything.
All right, don't forget, today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. When you're ready to take your next Disney trip, work with the great agents over at the Magic for Less. They are experts in the field. They're going to give you the best deal possible on your dream vacation, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney. They're there to assist you 24/7. Anytime you have a problem, they're going to be there. One of our agents earlier this week put out a post on Instagram, and he's exactly right. You're the superhero of your next Disney trip, but we're like the trusty sidekick. We're going to be there to make sure everything is squared away for you. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra, and every purchase helps everything we do here on the show. So please bookmark it and use it often. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Also, follow us on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. And, of course, Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Right now, during this quarantine, we are together 7 nights a week live on Facebook. So make sure you like the Facebook page. And then join us Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. We do live call-in shows. And on Mondays and Wednesdays, a bit earlier, we're recording the regular podcast that we've done for the last 12 plus years. All right, time to get out of here. Let you get back to work, whether it's, you know, working on the laptop on the sofa. Maybe you're one of our essential workers. Again, thank you for being out there and keeping this country going for all the rest of us. So for Jack, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.